You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Words can inspire, words can enrage, words can move us beyond. This is Speaking of Poetry with Ms. Vernell, heard only on Talktainment Radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Speaking of Poetry. I'm Ms. Vernell, and this is radio, the way it should be heard. You just shined the last floor for the day. It's 3:45 p.m. The kids been gone for at least an hour. You empty the mop water knowing in 16 hours, hundreds of little people will turn this hallway from ice rink to swampland, rushing to homeroom. Your chest still rises like the cornbread your missus has in the oven for you at home. It's because you have an oven and a home and a woman who mothers your children. When they want, you provide. If you know nothing else, you know need, you know supply, you know gotta have, you know gonna give, you know sacrifice, so they can know comfort and full bellies and stay in school, not drop out to work like you did, to take care of your mama when your daddy left to follow the scent of some young thing's lace panties boarding a train to go out west. When the waxing and hauling trash puts your back in a vice grip and you cuddle with ice packs and heating pads more than your wife, there are no worries when you think of the dimes and nickels you've buried in Crisco cans in the backyard and under the floorboards in the closet. You will cash them in for thousands of dollars when your oldest girl leaves for college. You don't need a pat on the back or an award or a parade in your honor. Her going where you were never allowed to go is all you need. Hey, this is Ms. Vernell, and that was a poem for my daddy, who was a high school janitor for so many years, and you know, used that job that many people may not find honor in to send me to college. So, like I said, this is Ms. Vernell. This is Speaking of Poetry. And today I am super excited, so excited. My Kentucky accent came out just then when I said I am. But I am super excited because I have someone joining me today who is here simply because I love her poetry. She is very new to the poetry scene in Central Ohio. And most of the time, I invite people on the show because they got a book, The Hawk, or they just want to slam, or they're one of my favorite poets that are nationally known. But every week, I keep hearing this poet at Writer's Block Poetry Night, and every week, I am blown away. I look forward to it. And so I said, you know what? I don't need to wait for Betsy to do something that other people think is fantastic, because she's doing something that I think is fantastic every week or every day or however often she writes a new poem. Her name is Betsy Clark. Betsy, what's up?
Hi, Vernell. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
You are welcome. I am super excited, you know, because like I said, I just love your work. And so we're just going to talk poetry today, you know, and we'll talk a little bit. I'll get a little bit into your poetry business and everything, like how you became a poet and all that stuff like that. And we're going to hear some of your poems. But I just want more people to hear your work. So that's why you are here, you know. And it's my own guilty indulgence too, because I want to pick your brain about what it is you are doing with your poetry, and I want everyone else to hear. So
Thank you. That's awesome.
You are welcome. So, you know, let's start with a little bit of background, because I found out, of course, you're a poet and that's why you're here. We talk poetry on Speaking of Poetry. But I just found out that you are a hairstylist, like by profession. You know, so how do those two things have anything to do with each other at all?
Actually, I feel like in a lot of ways they do. In a lot of my work, I'll hear people say things, and I'll be like, wow, that's such a great thing, and I'll want to write about it. And I encounter people all day, and so getting, you know, to know many different kinds of people and learning new things about different lives has really, you know, inspired some of my work. So in a way, they're connected.
Right. But don't be afraid, clients of Betsy. It's not like she's putting your entire lives into poems.
No, I'm not doing that.
And if she is, she's not mentioning your name. No. That is really quite interesting. And also, well, and as I was asking that question, I mean, I think hairstylist has to be one of the most creative professions that someone could have outside of what someone might consider like a hardcore artist or art genre, you know. But do you get very creative with your clients?
Yeah, definitely. There's a huge element of, there's a structured skill set, but then when it comes to tailoring things for people, it's creative. It's kind of mastering something to a certain person's style and being able to read into that as an art itself.
Yeah. All right. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. I know. Next time I need a haircut. I don't know, Betsy. I don't know.
I could fix you up.
I don't know, honey. I get a little skittish. I've actually never let, you know, I mean, this is radio, you know, but I've never let a white hairstylist do my hair.
No, that's so okay.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my God, Betsy, I might have to let you do something.
I'm going to be the first.
You might be. Well, you know what? Let's talk poetry, Betsy. When did you first start writing poetry?
Ooh, that's kind of a hard question. The first poem I remember writing, I was actually 11 years old. Not that it was great or anything, but that's when I started and I never stopped. I continued to journal poetry since then.
Okay. But there was something in you at some point that then compelled you to want to share, to like go to an open mic and say, I got to share this. I got to start sharing these poems. What was that?
That's a great question. Actually, I started sharing in public this past April. Past April is when I read at Writer's Block for the first time. And it's really funny. What sparked that was I was having a conversation with my sister that very day around 7:20. And, you know, we're having this deep conversation. And she's like, Betsy, you have to make life decisions that are for no one but yourself. And I was like, I want to do poetry seriously. And I think that was my sister's life advice. Me to do it, out loud.
Yeah. What is your sister's name?
Kayla.
Okay. Shout out to Kayla. And thank you, Kayla, from me, Ms. Vernell, for encouraging Betsy to start sharing her work, because, I mean, it's truly fantastic. It is a joy. Betsy, you are one of the gutsiest poets I know. I mean, and this is what I mean by gutsy, is that you seem, I mean, and of course, this is could all be just me, imposing, you know, something on you. It could be a facade that you've created. It could all be smoke and mirrors, baby. But you seem to really be unafraid to write poetry about things that other people may find are taboo or that other poets may be afraid to write about. You know, like most recently, I think it was a week or two ago, I heard you do a poem that was about depression and about, you know, well, everything around that, you know, and that for many people can be a very, very taboo topic. Mental health or mental illness, however you phrase it, can be a very taboo topic for people. And here you are. I don't even know, Betsy, I don't know how old you are. I assume you're younger than me because you look like you're 12. but it was so, so very, very, very gutsy. And so is that, you know, am I reading that right? Do you try to be gutsy?
I think that independence is the most attractive quality in people. And so when I write, sometimes I'll be like, I'm about to write this poem, and I know people think it's taboo, but I try not to write per se for an audience, but I try to stay true to writing things that are important to me. And my hope is that people, you know, don't hear it and they're like, oh, well, you know, she wrote about depression. But I write it because it's important to me. And sometimes I do like making some gutsy moves. I like being risky and switching it up a little bit a lot. I have fun with that.
Awesome, awesome. I need you to hang on right there. Getting down to earth. Want a realist perspective on some of today's hottest issues? Join host Earth Jallo for Getting Down to Earth, an online radio show with a no-nonsense attitude and pragmatic outlook on topics like the U.S. educational system, parenting, and family, relationships, current events, and more. Getting Down to Earth broadcasts Tuesdays on TalkTainmentRadio.com. So, yeah, let's hear a poem.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Okay, this first poem is called Four Corners, and it's about battling addiction and bad habits, and what's that like, you know, the after process.
Right.
It's called Four Corners. I never knew how dangerous danger was until we French kissed on the white lines going the wrong way on the only highway from the middle of the Midwest to anywhere. So you could say at some point our point was centralized, but I never knew how desolate desolation was until we said goodbye from four corners of states we could not pronounce due to the amount of intoxication this was. But we would meet again, love again, only from behind different skin. Sun-dried skin, freckled skin, grapes of wrath styled skin. Someone said we could make this drive in 3 days, but I think that we made it in much less than that. I never saw the sunset more than once, but I don't know many people who have. I never knew how cheap a cheap shot was until I paid for one in pennies, used every drop of it to do what I thought was run from myself, really was slamming into my own fault line. We would know each other again, but we would not be knowing the same person, not after 6 a.m. phone calls to mother, doctor's hands rested on mine, friends not calling, in the city they pleaded me to move to, mouths all saying the withdrawal is almost over. They think I am withdrawing from liquor, but it is more than that. It is the withdrawal of new cityscapes, hidden corner, dive bar, bitter beer with strange shadows. And the jukebox only plays songs about drinking and running and drinking and running and drinking and running until all we know is drinking and running. When we parted, I thought sobriety was a conclusive statement. But that was before anyone taught me how long a long haul was. Before I ever knew life was short, I knew it would be the longest thing I would ever experience.
All right, Betsy. So talk to me about this poem. I love that poem. Yeah.
Thank you.
It is definitely a gutsy poem. I need to back it up. Is this a persona poem or is this speaking from personal experience?
Personal experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that makes it a very gutsy poem, right?
Yes,
I mean,
it does.
You know, if it was a persona poem, it would be a darn good persona poem because it made me think that it was a gutsy poem from personal experience. Like, but, you know, so talk to me about that. What did you have to get out in this poem? Like, what message were you, did you say, I have to get out in this poem? Because there's several different messages in there.
Yeah. I think that the thing when I wrote this that I needed to get out was the idea that sometimes to make your life better, you have to lose things and sometimes people in order to conquer, you know, your demons, the things that drag you down, to get past those. Sometimes maybe the friends you had were holding you back or your habits were holding you back, and kind of that idea of getting lost in life, how you find yourself. Sometimes you have to lose your old way.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. There was a line in there that really that really stuck out to me. It said something, I'm paraphrasing here, something like, it's not about withdrawing from alcohol, but it's withdrawing from like the bars and the music and the people, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's kind of what you're talking about, mm-hmm. here. And when I heard that line, I was like, ooh, that is so true. Like, I mean, thinking about all of the stories of addiction I have ever heard of before, substance addiction. You know, there is a lifestyle that goes along with being an addict of something, you know, whether it's illegal drugs, prescription drugs, or smoking cigarettes. You know, there's a lifestyle that goes with it. Food, you're addicted to food. There's a lifestyle that goes with that. And when you want to change from that, like you were saying, sometimes that means letting go of people, places, even, you know, where you once went. And I think sometimes that's this, that is the most scary part, I think, for some people, especially having to let go of certain people in certain places that are comfortable to you. Wow, Betsy, look at that. It's so thought provoking. So very thought provoking. And then before you start the poem, you were talking something about, you know, about sobriety and recovery. And in the poem, you said you thought that it was a destination, but you found something different.
Yes.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
Yeah. And I mean, even like people who've never dealt with addiction before, they think that too. Like one day you just wake up and you're like, oh, I'm going to be sober. And now I'm sober. And I always had that idea in my head, but it's really a process. Like it's not only about losing the substance you're addicted to, but losing the mindset you have that causes you to be addicted to that. Like maybe if you're dependent on cigarettes, it's because you're stressed out. Well, the problem isn't that you smoke cigarettes. Maybe you shouldn't be so stressed out and you won't need
right.
the cigarettes.
Right.
So that really was something I didn't figure out until months later.
Right.
You know, it took me a long time. It was more so a retrospective realization.
Right, right. Wow. It's so interesting because some of what we're talking about here, you know, I can totally see that playing out, like, in my weight loss journey, you know, and as I move, you know, through my weight loss journey, you know, there were things about me that had to change. And for some of that, it was some people who had to change, you know, people who were not supportive of my efforts, or people who did not make a comment about my efforts either way, but who also would overly indulge in food. And I'm like, I can't be around what I'm saying? I can't be around that. So, there were people who I've known for ages, eons even, you know, who I had to change a little bit. You know, the way my family, the way we do, holidays now has changed, not just for me, but because other women in my family are also on their own weight loss journeys. And so we say we all need to be healthier, we all need to change. And that's a little scary because food often equates culture, you know, and experiences, you know, and so that's a little different. Even though I wouldn't say like me or my family had like a hardcore addiction to food, but sometimes it's the things that come with it. You know, the people, the places, the good times, or what you think are good times that the next morning you realize were not such good times. They were just times. So, yes. And that poem just sparks all of that, you know, all of those thoughts, which is what poetry is supposed to do, what good poetry is supposed to do, you know. And so have you had, what has been the feedback to that poem in particular?
That's a good question. I've had good responses. A lot of people are surprised that it's factual.
Yeah.
Is the biggest response people. I got a lot of questions like, oh, you've struggled with addiction? Oh, you're so young. That's always been the feedback.
Because you look like you're 12.
I do look like I'm 12.
Yeah.
It's very misleading.
Right.
Which is funny because I was young when I struggled with addiction. I got caught up and I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to live the rock star lifestyle,
you know.
But that's mostly been I've gotten positive feedback, but a lot of shock about it, too.
Well, I think, too, part of it is you seem so well adjusted now, you know. I mean, and when people think of addict or addiction, they have a different mental image that they have, you know, in their heads about that. Mm-hmm. And then talking so freely about it, because sometimes it's a very hush-hush type of thing, you know. Stay right there. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. We got more poetry from Betsy Clark up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We go where you go. Download the new TalkTainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us wherever you go, and it's free. Download today. The world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, food for thought.
I had to go a few days without hot water due to a natural gas leak in my home, and it started me to thinking about all the things many of us take for granted. It also brought to mind the millions of people in this world living without any running water. Forget about it being hot. So many people struggle to just survive every day, including some of our neighbors. And we complain about being inconvenienced when those things we take for granted are not available. I, for one, have decided to spend less energy complaining and more time and effort helping those lacking the things I take for granted. There are many agencies and organizations in need of assistance and donations to help others. For tips and resources on how to donate your time, money, or goods wisely to local, national, and international charities, visit the website charitynavigator.org, your guide to intelligent giving.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Attending career fairs is a great way to find job leads. You can meet potential employers and ask questions about their company. Just try not to get distracted by all the freebies. Keep your eyes on the real prize, and you might get a few interviews.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
The health care law gives us powerful tools to fight it.
To investigate it.
Prosecute it.
And stop criminals.
Our senior Medicare Patrol volunteers
are teaching seniors across the country
to stop, spot, and report fraud.
You can help.
Guard your Medicare card.
Don't give out your card number over the phone.
Call to report any suspected fraud.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
Let's make Medicare stronger for all of us.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Sure, what is it?
I want to tell you about someone being cyberbullied.
What is cyberbullied?
Cyberbullied is when someone is being bullied over the internet and this person can't take it and is thinking about suicide.
Have you told someone?
No, I haven't told anyone but you. It's not my business, is it?
Yes, it is. Tibbet says it's okay to tell the proper authorities. You must tell.
You're right. It is okay to tell, and I might even be able to save her life.
Good, because if you don't tell, I will, because cyberbullying is abuse.
Thanks. I'm going to tell now.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Miss Brunell on Speaking of Poetry with my guest, Betsy Clark. You may join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Betsy, we were just talking about that amazing poem. What was the title of that poem?
Four Corners.
Four Corners. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I heard reference to that in the poem. Wow. The other point I wanted to make, Betsy, is that, let me back up. Was that a hard poem to write? Like, emotionally, was it a hard poem to write?
Yes, in the sense it took me a long time to write it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've had poems that have taken years to get out.
They kind of sit inside you for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Like a gestational period or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Almost like a pregnancy or something. I don't know. But yeah. Well, you know, I think poems like that are the types of poems that really resonate with people, especially when you are speaking from a personal experience and it is about something that matters. I'm about poetry that matters. Even when I'm writing a funny poem, there's something in this poem that matters to me. And I think that's the kind of poems that speak to people, you know. And when you write about hard topics, it also can be the kind of poem that can help people start talking about their own issues and things of that nature. So congratulations to you for being like gutsy and bold, if you felt bold or brave, you know, when you were writing that poem. I mean, those are the poems that make people think, you know, and that just resonate with people. And that's my thing as a, you know, do you ever think about the reading of the poem, like to sharing it? Do you ever concentrate on that? Or have you, you know, thought about that yet? Like how this poem will go over with people or
like how they'll perceive it?
Yeah.
Actually, in some pieces, I do consider that. And typically in more sensitive pieces that I plan on reading out loud, I'll think about it. Like, is this going to come off the wrong way? Am I going to send the wrong message through the poem?
Right.
But generally, I stick true to my message, what I want to get across. And I try to, you know, I would never want anyone to feel uncomfortable or anything. Unless it was a good uncomfortable. Like an uncomfortable that made them do something.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I mean, I would like to, my goal is to make people do something. You know, I don't want someone to just hear my poem and be like, oh, that was cool, whatever.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't say something unless it's important,
right.
You know, or it's a waste of words.
Oh, I am all about that. I am all about that. I'm not writing any poems about trees just for the sake of picking a random topic to write about. Unless it's a writing exercise or something. But if I'm going to write a poem about trees, that's because I'm trying to say something about the environment or that tree is a metaphor or something.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. It sounds like what you're saying is that you're really trying to connect with people and you want people to connect with you, you know, through your poems. You know, I think it's fantastic. Because as entertaining that as poetry can be, you know, I feel like for audiences, you know, and when I am an audience member, sometimes when I go to a poetry reading, I want to be entertained, you know. But to me, that means I want you to give me something that I can latch on to, that I can ride with for a while, that can ride with me for a while, you know, that I can tuck, you know, in my, you know, pocket, you know, figuratively speaking, and take home with me, and that can stick with me for a while, that I can, you know, look back on, you know. That to me is good poetry, kind of entertainment. As a poet, I am never really, you know, trying to entertain that much, you know. It's really interesting how, like, I want to enjoy it, you know, the poetry reading and the poets and stuff, but as a poet, I'm just trying to put a poem out there, trying to be heard, trying to connect. You know, like my motivations are completely different, you know, as a poet, as opposed to an audience member. I mean, it's, you know, crazy. Like,
no, it's definitely true. And I think it was Ernest Hemingway who said, don't write about it until you know about it. And readers can feel that. They can tell if you've written something and they're like, does that person really understand what they're talking about?
Exactly. So that sounds a little stiff. It sounds like they're unsure. Mm-hmm. They just actually said something that I know is untrue, like whatever it may be. And that's right, people. You heard it here. Betsy just quoted Ernest Hemingway. Like, I just wanted to point that out. You just witnessed a moment of poetry nerdism right here. I'm speaking of poetry. She just completely nerded out, and I am totally, totally all right with that. All right, folks, hang on, Betsy. We're going to talk about food safety. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. One in six Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. So, Betsy, let's hear another poem. Let's go to another poem. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
We can definitely do that.
All right.
This poem is called Bird Girl, and it's one of my newer pieces. The story of the ugly duckling was just some failed attempt to get you to stop standing in the mirror ripping all of your feathers out. One by one, your downy coat buried under used mouthwash bottles in the garbage bin under the sink. Just stop. I know you won't ever get these back, and I know you won't ever look like Rapunzel. Don't you notice how men who stop and stare at you at shopping malls call you names? Mother grinds her teeth because she knows you feel best in thrift store attempts at alt fashion. But you will never be shapely, unflawed, smooth, the way Snow White held Grace as she spun for seven little men. And they don't call you ugly duckling anyways. They call you bird girl. They carve it in the walls of your locker. They turkey call you all the way down the hall until your skin is so thick your Walkman blares only punk rock. I swear, you will feel beautiful for the first time. But you won't look like Sleeping Beauty, so they will say that you can't ever hold a job. That your green hair, entirely black wardrobe, and facial piercings will get you nowhere. That you are worthless. When you finally feel beautiful, you will say that your tattoos are an abomination of mutilation to their god. That you're too thin, they'll be passive, say things like, you'd be much cuter without a nose ring, don't you think? Like boyfriends pleading, maybe you should grow your hair out. But you, bird girl, you and I conquered enough. I trust that when the day comes, you will turn around, look them in the eyes, and say, maybe you should go screw yourself.
Wow. All right. I love the last line of that. So in your face. Talk to me about that poem, Betsy.
Okay. High school bullying. That was really what I was called in high school, is bird girl, because I resembled slightly a bird, which is funny because birds are pretty. But yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if I could, as cliche or taboo it is, like if I could go back and tell like 16-year-old me, like, it's okay, like, keep doing what you're doing, because one day you're going to realize it's who you are and it doesn't matter what other people say. So
right,
it's kind of like,
right,
you know, encouragement, you know, to,
yeah,
be yourself, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, that is such a timely topic because there's so much talk about bullying, mm-hmm, in schools these days and for the last couple of years, really, because thanks to social media and, you know, technology, bullying has, you know, has taken on a whole new form.
Yeah, people hide behind technology and they'll, you know, people are nastier that way.
Absolutely. You know, I keep hearing about, you know, different, you know, humiliating pictures being passed around by the kids in a school through, you know, text messaging, putting it on Facebook and Instagram and Tumblr and Twitter and all those things, you know. And so, yeah, I like this poem, you know, addressing that topic, you know. I have one too, you know, absolutely. Mine is running into the mean girls, like, as an adult, years later, you know, and she's, you know, my waitress at the Golden Corral, you know, like, I mean, like, the tables have turned. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's an honorable way to make a living. You know, but, you know, this was the person who, you know, made me feel like I wasn't ever going to be anything, you know, that I was useless or whatever. And, you know, and now she's, you know, has to wait on me and bring me things.
Tables have turned.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But were you like reflecting about your experiences in high school that made you write that? Or was it something that you heard recently about bullying that made you write that?
I didn't know as a high school student that I would still get bullied as an adult for the same things I got bullied for as a high school student, and then became an adult and I was like, whoa,
really?
We're not sophomores anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of about that and about like, And it was a lot. There is a lot of that talk about the bullying thing and like how I can look back and be like, oh, my skin's so much thicker. But then you hear things now about these girls are committing suicide or hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Or they're,
oh, my goodness. It breaks my heart.
You know,
yeah.
Kids are really terrible. But yeah, it was inspired by the fact that I still receive some of that negative attention as an adult. And that is what made me start thinking about, you know, what when it started.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And it makes you wonder what kind of teenagers these adults are who are trying to bully you now. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, this is how they are with some maturity, you think. You know, what was it? How they treat their classmates back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. See, this is what happens, people, when you piss off a poet, you know. You will end up in a poem.
You'll get an angry poem written about you.
Exactly.
Not more than one.
Exactly. I'm like, so yeah, just keep writing, you know. So Betsy, let me ask you this question. I mean, because you're still relatively new to the whole sharing your poetry, you know, out loud, you know, and you do come to writer's block. Have you ever thought about entering a poetry slam? I have to ask this question.
That's really great.
Because I want to know.
I actually am doing the qualifying slams for the women's one.
Are you? Is this news?
This is news.
Oh my God. You heard it here first. I'm speaking of poetry. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Cause you should be.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's exciting. And
yeah,
give it a shot. See how it goes.
That is awesome. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, you're going to make me dust off a poem and join you or something.
You should.
I love it when people slam for the first time. And that's what happened. I think it was last when we were competing for the National Poetry Slam here, you know, at Writer's Block. And I had no intention upon getting into the first slam for that. But then all these poets. It was like 12 poets in that slam, and like five of them were doing it for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, I had no intention upon slamming tonight, but it's like, I wanna join in. Like, I felt like I was like looking out of the living room window, and I'm about 8 years old, and seeing a bunch of kids go off to the park with a kickball, and I wanna play along with them. So I like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out there. You know, wow, Betsy, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Oh my goodness. Betsy, you may not know this, but sometimes on Speaking of Poetry, I will have a moment. I call it my That's a Raven moment, where I get a proclamation, a futuristic vision, you know, you're a poet, some foreshadowing into something that's going to happen in the future. And I am predicting you doing really well in this season of Slam for Women of the World Poetry Slam. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you doing very, very well. Yeah. So I'm seeing you winning a slam. Like, I see you getting points to get into the Grand Slam, but I also see you winning a slam, like first place in one of these slams. So I'm seeing that. So I'm just putting that out there into the universe, speaking that into existence. So, yeah.
I hope it happens then. Your predictions usually come true.
I know. They do. Like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Everybody, check this out. We go where you go. Download the new TTR Talktainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us wherever you go, and it's free. Download today. So, Betsy, oh, my goodness. What made you decide this?
Jordan.
Okay.
Actually came to me. I was standing outside of Cafe Kerouac, and she was like, you should do this. And I was like, okay. I think everyone on the local scene that I really love and respect has a lot of slam experience. And I don't know. It's something I want to get my hands in and see, you know, if anything that I can watch other poets.
Right. Stay right there. Talktainmentradio.com. That's our address. Listen live and participate. Call 1-877-932-9766. We broadcast locally and worldly around the clock. Check out the blogs and podcasts. We go where you go. Download Talktainmentradio.com app to your cell or tablet. Radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We got more with Betsy up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone. TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Look out, automobiles. Here we come. Now that's radio, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, food for thought.
I had to go a few days without hot water due to a natural gas leak in my home, and it started me to thinking about all the things many of us take for granted. It also brought to mind the millions of people in this world living without any running water. Forget about it being hot. So many people struggle to just survive every day, including some of our neighbors. And we complain about being inconvenienced when those things we take for granted are not available. I, for one, have decided to spend less energy complaining and more time and effort helping those lacking the things I take for granted. There are many agencies and organizations in need of assistance and donations to help others. For tips and resources on how to donate your time, money, or goods wisely to local, national, and international charities, visit the website charitynavigator.org, your guide to intelligent giving.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Miss Brunell. I'm speaking of poetry with my guest, Betsy Clark. You may join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Betsy, I gotta get another poem in.
Yeah, definitely.
I know. I hope everyone is enjoying your poetry as much as I am, because this is, you know, I said at the top of this show that I was being a little self-serving with inviting you on because I'm a fan. I'm like, I don't know. I think there might be some people who would compete against me for president of the Betsy Clark Fan Club. I know some people who will like campaign, you know, for their own presidency. So I'm saying I could be president, but I may have to fight some people. We might have to take that out back. So
you might have to take my boyfriend out.
Right. Well, you know what? I'll let him be president, and I'll be like vice president or something.
Yeah. An honorable place.
It is. I just have to wave at people and stuff. But let's hear your next poem.
Okay, this one is a little bit more lighthearted. It is called Dating Advice from a Carnivore. This is for all my ladies going on first dates. Because I know what happens on first dates. You're going to be all dolled up at a 5-star restaurant with cuisine from every corner of the world. And we can only assume he will definitely order a cheeseburger. But when the waiter turns to you, your answer affects a nation of women. You're going to say you want a salad. But I'm here to tell you why you shouldn't eat a salad in front of your new boyfriend, in public, or ever. So we'll start you off with the basics. What is salad? Salad is a square foot of your grandmother's backyard. Statistically speaking, there is a 75% chance that the grasshoppers are included in that square foot. Have you ever bought fresh spinach? I did, once, and there was dead ladybugs in it. Here is a tip. It is not classy to eat dandelions and bug poop on a first date. Did you even read the rest of the menu? They have squid. But no, you woman, order a salad. Making it hard on all the ladies out there that wanted that squid. Now we are freaks, victims of first date side eye. No, you're the freak. Making women look like rabbits. This will bite you in the butt 3 months down the road when he finds you in a bag of Funyuns. Funyuns are not vegetables. And all I wanted was to look human.
I love that poem. I think that's fantastic. Ladies, listen up.
It's my dating advice.
Right, right. Even though that poem is very, you know, much more lighthearted than some of the others, it's very true.
It like, is. It is. You shouldn't put up false pretenses.
Right. Like, that's all you eat is vegetables and salads and
yeah.
fruit.
No.
Right.
It's not true. We're all at home with ice cream sometimes.
Right. And then you said Funyuns. I was like, when's the last time I heard anybody? When's the last time I've even seen a bag of Funyuns?
I don't know.
I put that in the same category with Tab. Like, do they even make that?
Yeah, I haven't seen Tab.
Actually, they still make it. Sometimes you can get it at Cafe Kerouac.
Really?
Yeah.
It's still there?
Tab,
no,
yeah. Like new Tab. Not like Tab that's been sitting in like a dungeon for 30 years and then they brought that out. Like new Tab.
It's not like fermented or something.
Right. Right. Fresh. As fresh as a soda could be. Fresh Tab.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. Yeah. And yeah. And so you're saying like when women do that, they're like making it harder on everybody else, right?
Yeah, they are. Because then when, you know, you just want to be a normal person, there's like this kind of air you have to have, you know. I mean, you should be classy and ladylike, but
right.
you shouldn't have to fit inside of a box
yes.
of what a first date is like or what a woman is like.
Right, right. That's awesome. I love it. Starting things out, you know, truthfully.
Yeah.
Like, eat the greasy burger if that's your thing. Have the pork chop if that's your thing.
Exactly.
The French fries if that's your thing. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, Betsy, what's the next step? Like, we were talking about, you know, wanting to go into SLAM,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what do you hope to get out of that? This is so awesome talking to you before you go into that. Yeah.
That's a good question. I hope to get out of it. Well, I think the experience will be good to be in front of, you know, with more pressure on me.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that'll help my performance more. Maybe it'll kind of encourage me. And then if I got to do Big Slam, seeing other people and seeing what other people are doing and letting that influence me.
Yes.
More so. That's a good question. I just want to experience it. I just want to know
yeah.
what it's like, you know,
yeah.
to do something big like that and to feel like something I care about so much is, I don't know, is a big part of my life or is like a big event or something special that way.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great answer because I always say that, you know, well, one, people, audiences listen harder in slams. That makes sense. They're more focused on your poems because they want to hear it. And then they, you know, at least me as an audience member, I want to hear that poet's poem. And then I want to hear those judges' scores. And then I want to let those judges know if I agree or disagree with their scores. So in order to do that, I need to listen, you know, mm-hmm. to the poem. So people are being way more, audiences are being way more attentive during slams, you know. I mean, and there is some pressure on you, too, because you want to When you know that people are focused on you more than they normally are, you know, but not really necessarily focused on you, more so focused on your poem. So you do want to, you know, bring your A game in terms of how you're presenting your poem, the presentation of your poem, you know. And that just goes along with, I think that all poetry is meant to be heard. So even when I'm at home reading poetry out of a book, I am compelled to read it aloud. To even, you know, I'm the only one in the room. I'm compelled to read it aloud because I want to hear how the words sound, you know. So, yeah, so I'm very excited about that for you. And what else? Is there anything else that's next for you with poetry?
Yeah, I really want to put a chapbook out, which is funny because I put, like, one together and then was like, this isn't the one. Like, this isn't it.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that happens to other people.
It all the time.
I was like,
all the time.
I say that might just be me being neurotic. But no. I put one together and I, like, edited it and looked at it and stared at it and I was like, this isn't the one. So I'm hoping to soon, like, definitely by the spring, like the end of spring, have one printed and made and some new work in it.
Here, I will tell you this, right? You put one together and you're like, this isn't the one, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll discover the one and hopefully by your timeline in the spring, right?
Yeah.
And you'll put it out there and you'll be like really proud of it and people will buy it. I'll buy it. You know, I'll have you back on Speaking of Poetry to talk about that project, right? And then maybe like a year afterwards, you'll be like, that was not the one. Like, that was not the one.
It was the other one.
Yeah. Or neither one was the one. And then 5 years after that, 5 years later, you'll be like, what was I thinking putting that out there? You know, I mean, and I say that because, you know, like life, you know, and we all should be evolving through life. Our poetry and our writing will evolve with us. And, you know, a year, you know, so whatever poem was that, whatever chapbook you put out there, that will be what, you know, when you are satisfied with it, that will be the best representation of you at that time. But down the road, when you are now a new, you know, a person that has more life experiences, you've, you know, changed some things, added some things to the experiences that you have, you know, as a result of growth and age, your poetry will also change. What you're writing about will change because what you're interested in has changed. And it'll just be different, you know, and not that, you know, what you did before will be bad. It'll just be different. Like what you're doing now is different. So I say all that to say is don't feel like it has to be perfect, you know, for you, you know, that it has to be perfect because we're always changing and evolving, you know, and sometimes the process from when you said you wanted to put a chapbook together, depending upon how long that process is of selecting poems, writing poems, editing the poems. Sometimes that process can be so long, depending upon what went down in our lives and in our world, you may now be a different person than at the start of that process, right? And now you're thinking, oh man, that's not how I feel about these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't, you know, so at the same time, pick the poems at the time that you'll be proud of putting out there, you know, to people. But at the same time, don't feel this pressure that it has to be like, you know, completely perfect, you know? Yeah. Yeah. But do it. We're waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. Some other people are waiting for it. So, yeah, it's very exciting. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And speaking of excitement, I'm excited because people can now listen to Speaking of Poetry on Talktainment Radio anywhere they want because we go where you go. Download the new TTR Talktainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us where you go and it's free. Download today. So Betsy, let's get in one more poem. You got one more poem you want to share with us? You know, maybe. I don't know. I'm looking at your face. You're like, oh my God, I don't know what I will do.
I could read a poem that I wrote inspired by my job. That might be.
Oh yeah. Hold on, would that get you in trouble with your job? Is it a favorable poem about your job?
It's about one of my clients I love dearly.
So okay. Oh, yeah.
I think it's favorable.
Yeah, yeah,
She's a very inspirational woman.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. The name of the poem is called Willie Nelson.
All right.
How is the weather? Probably bad. Did you hear about insert topical news story here? It was probably violent. Do you live in Upper Arlington, or do you hate this place as much as I do? Every 30 minutes, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, I have the same exact conversation. I've grown so I don't even give a darn that just the words blended layers can put me into fits of complacency. But I love this mousse, and it gives just the right amount of volume, and you'll only need it a couple more highlights before I lose it. I swear, people weren't always this unresponsive, and maybe something changed inside of me that I no longer can pull something from apathetic tongues. But yesterday, Lori came in. She'd been crossing my mind a lot lately. She says, "No, you were thinking of Willie Nelson, but not the Willie Nelson that you're thinking of. Willie Nelson is a 12-year-old blue tick, and he does not sing songs." Lori holds tight lips as she tells me he has passed. I don't know how it started, how I came to care for Willie the way Lori cared about everyone else. It started with the mundane, "Where are you from?" A farm in Mount Vernon where she cooked him steak and rice once a week when his guts started to go bad. Where the chickens slept in palaces, not coops. The one she drove 45 minutes from to take care of her mother. Willie Nelson died? The world holds tight lips because it doesn't work to talk about the weather, no matter the occasion, because it truly does not matter at all. This gel will make your curls last all day, or at least as long as you can stand them.
Fantastic. I like that poem. All right. It was inspired by your client.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's so sweet. That is awesome. Well, Betsy, how can people get in contact with you if they want to know more about you, or if they heard you and they said, well, when that chatbook comes out, put me on the list, you know, how can they find you?
Okay. Well, I have an email address. Okay. That is Betsy, B-E-T-S-Y, N101@gmail.com. So that's like my business email. And then I'm on Facebook. You can just search me on Facebook. Right. And I'm on there.
You
it's
are.
Betsy Clark.
Absolutely. And also, folks, if you don't remember any of that, you can always go to the Speaking of Poetry site on Facebook and say, hey, you had that new poet on Speaking of Poetry. I think your name was Betsy. How do I find her? And I will put you in touch with her because that's what I do. So that's Facebook at Speaking of Poetry. Fantastic. Well, Betsy, I don't know what else needs to be said because I have just, I mean, you blow me away all of the time. And I should have told you that I specifically wanted to hear your statistics poem that you did.
I would have done that.
I know you would have done that, but you know what? I was like, you know what? I want to see what she puts together herself. So I didn't want to tell you what to do. You know, I wanted to give you your own artistic freedom with that. But that I love that poem. It was a very, very gutsy poem. And I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to this chapbook. Like I said, put me on the list. I will be the second one to sign up. I think your boyfriend will probably be the first one to buy a copy. And he is buying a copy. Do you hear me? Boyfriend of Betsy, you will buy a copy. And then I'll be the second one to buy a copy. But I don't know. There may be other people who may fight me for that honor too. Like, people are really digging what you're doing. And I think that it's only because, you know, the work is fantastic and the person behind the work is fantastic, which makes it even better. Yeah, so that is super duper fantastic. I'm looking forward to what comes next from you. I really am. You know, I hope you end up going to the Women of the World Poetry Slam. I do, because I feel like bigger audiences need to hear what you're doing. So it's fantastic. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was great.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time. And I'll have to have you back. You will be back when you come out with your first chapbook in the spring.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Or if you end up becoming, you know, a rep for Women of the World.
You've been listening to Speaking of Poetry, heard only on Talktainment Radio.
Thank you for listening to TalktainmentRadio.com on WCRS
98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTenantRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.